Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello and welcome to Project Zion podcast. This is your host, Robin Linkhart, and today our topic is virtual ministry as we continue to explore what virtual ministry is, how it can be a living tool to support mission in the life of the church, and learn all kinds of things about a platform that takes place on the digital, online, internet world. Today, our guest is John White. John is the senior president of 70, which means he has a very significant international dimension to his role in the life of the church. He serves as the president of Quorum 6, which is a USA quorum, and he is also a member of the USA team, a team of apostles and presidents of 70 who support mission across the USA. He is also a parliamentarian extraordinaire and a dear friend and mentor of mine. Welcome, John. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, hi, Robin. Thank you very much for having me. It's great to be here.
I think it would be great to start at the beginning, which means getting to know more about you, John. So if you could just share a little bit about who you are, your journey with Community of Christ, and anything that would help our listeners get to know you on a more personal level.
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is all of that you just said about me, notwithstanding, that I really like to just introduce myself as a lowly servant of the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's all I need. In terms of my journey with Community of Christ, my heritage does go back all the way to the very beginnings of the church. My dad was an appointee minister, so I've known nothing but Community of Christ my whole life. I will say that when I was in junior high school, my parents very wisely encouraged me to attend churches with some of my friends, just to get a little different feel and flavor of what else was out there. And what I experienced caused me to understand that Community of Christ was the right place for me to live out my discipleship. I was captivated by things like our understanding of the peaceable kingdom, what we call Zion, that was highly meaningful to me. Things like the worth of all persons, unity and diversity, or in the words of that wonderful new hymn that we have, for everyone born a place at the table. And that's what I saw happening. That's the environment that I experienced growing up, and particularly at that time, as I said, when I was in junior high. And so I've been a part of the church and very active ever since.
Thanks, John. I always learn something new about you when you share about yourself. And just a quick tidbit for those of our listeners that don't understand the term appointee minister, that would be someone who serves in full-time ministry on behalf of Community of Christ and are generally assigned to a specific geographic area, although in the 21st century, those assignments can take on a virtual dimension, which is kind of what we're talking about today. John, my understanding is that you, in a sense, were very much an early pioneer into virtual ministry. We would love to hear all about that.
Well, I can't really take any personal credit for that. It was more the Council of Presidents of 70 working together. But about 20 years ago, a young man who worked in the church's audiovisual department came to the council with the suggestion for a live chat room. This was, at that time, it was purely text, and people would just type in, unlike what we have available to us today, which involves audio and video. After the council discussed it at length, decided to pursue it. And at the time, it was called Sunday Night Live, takeoff on Saturday Night Live. Some of us, many of us that have worked on it for the whole time, still refer to it that way, but it's actually known now as Sunday Chat. At that time, I was serving on the Council of Presidents of 70 as a self-sustaining president of 70. And so my other job was as National Director of Computer Operations for a national volunteer organization called Joint Action and Community Service. I guess some of the people on the council said, well, it's only logical that John should be involved in coordinating these efforts for this chat room. And so that's how I really got involved with this. It began with a moderator and a guest minister. Usually that would be an apostle, sometimes a member of the First Presidency, sometimes a member of the presiding bishopric, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we used strictly text and chat at that time, as I mentioned. It has had several iterations over the years as we have tried to meet the needs of the participants. But the goal has always been to present to people information about Jesus Christ first and foremost, and about community of Christ secondarily, and also to engage interested individuals in discussions about faith, about God, about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, community of Christ distinctives, etc.
That's really helpful, and I really enjoy hearing about how this got started in the early days of exploration. And I actually had a friend, a seeker, in the Wichita, Kansas area that found Sunday Night Live to be a lifeline for her, in a sense, and it was a safe place for her to ask all kinds of questions that she might not feel comfortable asking in her local context. She was attending a congregation, a Community of Christ congregation at the time. And the other thing was that she got to overhear the dialogue and exploration of others that really expanded her sense of understanding and getting to know a Community of Christ in general. So a lot of people, when they learn about virtual ministry, want to know about specifics of format or content, or do you now or did you then have, as you focus on the items that you listed off that are key to the goals and presence of this ministry now, are there certain ways that you get at that through the format, or do you have a regular rhythm of how things go?
Yeah, as I mentioned, it started out as just kind of an open forum, and we found that worked okay sometimes and not so well other times. And so it has evolved through the years to the point where the moderators now come to Sunday Night Chat with a prepared outline for discussion. It's usually centered on the lectionary scripture for that day. However, it's important to note here that even though they come prepared that way, if any of the participants have any questions, that is set aside and we deal with the questions that they may be raising, or concerns, or whatever else they might have. So again, the goal has always been to engage with those individuals, not to push a particular topic or subject out there. One regular feature, though, that we have always had is that the moderators offer prayer for any individuals who express a need or a concern during the chat. If no one expresses a specific need, they pray more generally for the needs of people, for peace, for guidance, for world leaders, et cetera, et cetera. But it's fairly open-ended if the individuals who are participating do have questions, but they use this outline to kind of lead some discussions into those things that I mentioned previously.
So I want to go a little deeper too, John, and just explore your sense of how virtual ministry has enhanced mission and invitation in your particular context, how it may add a dimension, or even some of the challenges you've had as you have tried to, you know, understand what are the missional implications of virtual ministry.
Yeah, and I guess I would have to start by saying that one of my guiding principles for myself is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth when he said, when I was with the Jews, I became like a Jew. When I was with the Gentiles, I became like a Gentile. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Now, we would use slightly different language today than that, but the point is, he said, I use all means to reach people. And so that's, for me, using this virtual platform, this virtual ministry, has given us one more way to engage with people who may have specific needs or questions, but who either don't live near one of our congregations or who don't want to identify themselves. That has been a valuable aspect of the chat room. People can be anonymous if they choose to do that, and that has been very helpful as we have gone through the years. Making contact in the context of the chat room has really opened many doors for deeper discussions via email, in some cases in personal contacts, phone, whatever it might be. So it has been a door opener as well as offering that kind of safe place that you mentioned about your friend. If a participant is comfortable disclosing their location and contact information, then we have even been able to link them up with Community of Christ folks who are relatively close for further follow-up. So not just in the virtual world, but we've also been able to bridge that into personal contact as well. So it has been helpful in that regard too. I might note that just a couple of weeks ago, we expanded the chat room to include audio. And this is kind of new for us. As I mentioned earlier, it has always been just typed text. And so we decided we would expand this and see where it would go. We're still learning. We're still experimenting. But we have tried to be sensitive and to open it up a little bit further. Now, we still offer the use of text only for those who are uncomfortable for whatever reason with speaking in a group setting. By not expecting people to use video either, we are still able to provide the same kind of anonymity that some of them seem to want and that we've always had available.
That's interesting. I love hearing how the ministry, which has been in place for many, many years, continues to explore and experiment as new opportunities for interfacing digitally come to the fore. Now, John, I know there have been a couple times when you've shared with me people who connected with Community of Christ virtually through Sunday Night Live and now through Sunday Chat who actually have become members of the church over time. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Could you share a story or two with us about that?
Well, one was kind of interesting. It involved a boy who was doing some research online looking for some information and happened upon us and asked his mother about it, and she began to look at what was available, and then she got engaged in the Sunday night chat room. That continued for quite some time. That, as I mentioned before, opened a door that evolved into phone conversation and then some personal contact, and that involved inviting them, their family, to attend a reunion and world conference and some other things, and the family chose to join the church as a result. Of course, that's very exciting to be able to have shared the message of Jesus Christ and then seen those lives desire to be a part of that community with Christ. And that's not the only time. That's one of my favorite stories, though, because it was the young man, the young boy who actually found us first, and then the rest of the family was drawn in.
I love that story. It really speaks to the sense of relationship that we carry with us into any interaction, or in the case of the young boy, his research project. All righty. Well, This is just very intriguing to me. Do you have guests come on from time to time, or is Sunday chat something that ministers that we have across the church you might want to come on and help in some way that would be an avenue of service?
Sure, that would be great. There are moderators who facilitate the discussions, and there are times when it would be helpful to have people who could do what we call whisper chat, which is a one-on-one with a participant who may have a question that doesn't need to be shared with the whole group. And so that's one way that people can help to participate on the Sunday chat. We at this point we don't use the guest approach like we did in the beginning. We just didn't find that worked very well for us. Who knows though? It may come back around. You know, what goes around comes around. But at this point we're not using that format. But there are times when, as I said, we need to connect one of the participants with a person fairly close to them. And so that's another way that we can connect people one-on-one. And sometimes that is by phone, sometimes it's in person. So it just depends on the given situation.
That's great to know. And kind of a follow-on question with that, and you mentioned World Conference as well. One of the things that we're discovering with virtual ministry is it's not an either or. It's not only virtual or only face to face, but the interaction in both avenues of relationship is really helpful. Does Sunday chat or did Sunday Night Live ever have opportunities to meet face to face? Or I don't know if you ever had an event that people could come to. I know World Conference is kind of a built-in, wonderful place to invite people to come and not only explore World Conference, but to meet people that they know from online only. Did you ever have a mechanism for getting like the group, the regulars, to have opportunity to meet each other?
No, we really didn't. It was probably something that we should have explored more. Part of the problem was so many of us were so heavily involved with other activities at World Conference that we weren't able to devote any real time to that sort of activity. There were times, though, when some of the moderators were able to make personal connection with some of the Sunday Night Live participants at various activities like World Conference, like reunions. But in terms of an organized activity, we never have been able to do that.
Yeah, this is a question that I think all the virtual ministries are asking ourselves is, what does that look like? What does it need to look like? And I think you've touched on something that's really important, and that is there's not a one-size-fits-all, even when it comes to exploring face-to-face opportunities. So I think, John, like anything, we pioneer or experiment, and after we've done it for a while and reflect back on the early days, sometimes from the perspective of being down the road a ways and looking back, we can identify things about our experience that we wish we had known when we first started out, you know, things we learned along the way. Are there any things like that for you that might benefit others who are in that journey now?
Yeah, one thing that does come to mind, and I've already referenced it, but we found that it was fairly important, and that is that for some people, anonymity is critically important when they are talking about faith and theological questions, etc. We didn't realize that early on. It kind of that learning grew over time, and so it allowed us to approach individuals rather than pushing to get to know their name or their location. We knew to let them be self-disclosing of those things if they wanted to be, and so that was one thing. The whole idea of allowing for anonymity is very important. Another is that some people we have found, and I guess I would say we weren't expecting this, but we have found that some people do come with an agenda. And there are rare occasions when we may have to block an individual from the chat because they become disruptive, offensive, even attacking other people, hurtful, etc. This was very hard for us early on because we wanted to be welcoming and hospitable to everybody and anybody. But that was another hard lesson for us to learn. Doesn't happen often, but we needed to be prepared for that. And so that was a hard lesson to grasp and then to have to play it out. Again, rarely, but it was something that we learned.
Thanks. That's really helpful. Kind of along the same vein of exploration of virtual ministry, I'm guessing that you have identified several guiding principles or best practice along the way that might also bring some wisdom to those of us who are newbies on this journey.
Well, you know, it's every expression is different, and so I'm not sure that we can say this principle or this practice applies across the board, but I'll share some things that I think may be applicable. One is, and again, I've already mentioned this a couple of times, and that is the anonymity may be an issue for some, and so, you know, we need to keep that in our awareness. Prayer is critically important in all phases, before, when it goes live, during, after. I can't say enough about the value and the importance of prayer. Going back to Paul's statement about I have become all things to all people that by all means, that's, I think, an important principle to remember. I don't think we can assume that everybody is on the same page with technology. Let me tell you a quick story. Well, it may not be too quick, but let me tell you a story that just drove this home for me. I was at an office supply surplus store with my wife, and we happened to find a large box full of those binder clips where the tabs fold down. And my wife got very excited about these, knocked the box over, and they spilled out on the floor, making a loud noise, which drew the attention of another customer who was not too far away. And this customer looked over and said, "What was that?" And we said what it was and the fact that my wife was excited because she needed them for the credit union that she's president of. And this woman who asked the question said, "Who uses paper anymore?" And that just really struck me that, wow, yeah, she doesn't understand the credit union business. They do have to still use a lot of paper. And so that just reminded me in a very graphic way that, yeah, some of the people that we want to reach may not even have a computer. Or if they do, it may be an old one. Or if not, maybe they don't have the software that they need, or they don't know how to use it. And so for me, that's a driving principle that we need to remember that you know, not everybody is on the same page in that regard. And so I think it's important to try to reach people where they are rather than expecting them to be ready to engage where we are. And that may not be easy sometimes, but I think that's an important thing to remember. And in that vein, I'll mention that our moderators are very good about working with guests at times other than when the chat room is open to help them get more comfortable with the technology. And so, you know, if they're seeing or hearing from the participants that they're having difficulty, then they will make arrangements to connect with them some other time and help them learn how to do the software or how to use the computer better, whatever it might be. Prayer is critically important. If I haven't mentioned that already, prayer is critically important in this whole process. Another one that I think is important, and it kind of goes along with what I just said, but even more than just with technology, I think it's really important that we listen to what the people are saying rather than just pushing our agenda, to be really sensitive and open to what the participants, the guests are expressing, so that we can address those needs, those concerns, those questions, rather than, as I said, just pushing our agenda. And if I haven't already mentioned it, let me just mention that prayer is critically important to this whole process at all levels.
Thank you, John. I agree with you. Prayer is of paramount importance in every dimension of ministry, and virtual ministry is no different in that regard. As I was listening to you talk, it really dawned on me how it would be so helpful to offer people a tutorial presence in their life to deal with the challenge of a computer and understanding how to use it. This summer in reunions, so Community of Christ has a summer camping tradition of many, many years where we gather as families at campgrounds for about a week, give or take. And I always share, you know, the latest thing that's going on in the church. And recently, the Project Zion podcast is something new to the life of the church, and sharing with people of all ages about how to access that. And for seasoned generations, I call it internet radio, because they understand tuning into a good radio show when they were kids growing up was really exciting. But they still have this sense of, I don't know if I can do that, and I don't know if I know which button to click or how to navigate my way. And we've tried to set up, you know, side-by-side tutorials, but always keeping that in mind so that we can break down whatever walls might prevent someone from connecting in a way that would be very meaningful for them is important to remember. I was also thinking, as you chatted, John, about the ministers that are providing this ministry, and maybe you have done this. I know when I was helping with Sunday chat a little bit a few years ago, it was so helpful to me to have opportunity to chat with you and the moderators that were helping, and just hear them talk about it. Are there ways that we might be able to support our ministers in various areas of the church geographically that are pioneering and exploring this? Any thoughts come to you along those lines, or things that you have done in the past?
Well, prayer is the obvious one that comes to mind. And in some cases, we may not know a specific example or a specific person that's working on it. But we can certainly pray for all of those who are engaged in virtual ministries, as well as every other kind of ministry. So I think, again, prayer is the first one that pops into my mind. As things develop, you know, I think we can listen or watch and listen, depending on what the virtual ministry happens to be, and you know, just be aware of what might be helpful. Offer a word of encouragement, an email or a text or a Facebook, whatever it might be, to those folks that are facilitating these virtual ministries, just to say, really love that one. Keep it up. You know, just something that's positive and encouraging. As a society, I think we're very good at finding fault. We don't do so well with that encouraging word. So, you know, that would be one thing that comes to my mind to help those who are involved in virtual ministries, is just a pat on the back and a kind word every now and then to keep them going.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I do know that as virtual ministries begin to emerge, we are trying to network with one another. And So feel free to reach out, and also look, if you're planning to attend World Conference, look for Lunch and Learns and other opportunities on the schedule that week for networking with other people who are engaging in virtual ministry. I want to ask you a couple more questions, John, but I think at this point, I just want to stop for a minute and let you tell us how anyone listening might be able to access Sunday chat and the, you know, the day and time, et cetera, and address, web address, whatever they need to do to connect.
Yeah, the easiest way is just to go to the church website, seaofchrist.org, on Sunday evenings. It starts at 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time or Central Standard Time, depending on the time of year. And when you first open the church's webpage, right at the top, there is a link to Sunday chat. And so that's the easiest way, is just to open the church website and click on that link, and it'll take you right to it. One of the things that I should mention is that we do use Zoom as the platform for Sunday chat at this point. And again, it allows us to do the audible side, but also the chat side. And so there are some instructions that show up on the screen when you first open Sunday chat, and that help you to navigate through. If you want to hear it and talk, great. If you want to just chat, there is an icon down at the bottom of the screen that will open that the chat window, and so people can look for that if they want to just use the chat feature.
And who are your regular moderators? I know you have two that are very faithful. Do you want to just share their names?
Yeah, these are both 70s. And for those who may not be familiar with that office, it is an office of priesthood in Community of Christ. The office is focused on being a special witnesses of Jesus Christ and being forerunners of Christ's peace. And so our primary focus is that invitational ministry, that welcoming ministry. And so that's what these two individuals are committed to in their ministry. One is Richard Hawks, who is from Michigan, and the other is Brad Bryant from Illinois. And so they are the faithful, the ones that keep us going week after week. And they would love to have you come on anytime. Any of you who are listening to this, we'd love to have you.
Thank you for that information, John. And listeners, we will post that connection information when we post this interview on Project Zion podcast. So if you are connecting by your phone and you want to know what that information is, and you're driving your car and you couldn't write it down, just know that you can go to projectzionpodcast.org, where we post our episodes, and you can check that out. So, John, this is super exciting to kind of go down memory lane with you and some recent history of the church over the last 20 years in virtual ministry. At this juncture, as you look beyond the horizon to which we are sent, what do you see on the horizon for virtual ministry?
For virtual ministry, I think it's wide open. As you say, beyond the horizon, who knows what's out there, you know, and the idea is for us to be open to whatever might be coming down the pike and be ready to grasp that. As for Sunday chat, we will continue to tweak as necessary. We'll try to be aware. Sometimes people have said, wow, you know, using just a chat feature, that's so old school. Well, you know, that's with a reason. It's for a reason, to allow those people who aren't so technologically inclined, but also want to maintain that anonymity. And so we've talked through the years, about, going to a video, chat, and we've just decided not to do that, even though we know it's there. We have the platform to do it. We have, moderators who would be able to deal with that very well. So the reason I mention that is that It may not be, virtual ministries may not be the latest, greatest, but you know, by looking at what is available to use, then we can do what Paul suggested, using all means, whatever works. And so that's where I see virtual ministry going, not chasing the latest and greatest, but looking for each thing that might minister to a group of people or to individuals who are looking to make a connection with the divine, to make a connection with a community of people who believe. And so that's where I see it going. It's wide open, and I'm very excited about the possibilities.
I love the picture that you paint about virtual ministry being as diverse and having, in a sense, its own personality and way of engaging as we see in, you know, face-to-face, where we visit different congregations who have different resident giftedness and different cultures and contexts through which we understand our life of faith and express with others. So there are indeed, even the few virtual ministries that Community of Christ has out there now, each one has its own kind of flavor and how they engage technology, and knowing that Sunday chat is one that has a unique format that they use, and specifically something that's very sensitive to people's needs for anonymity and their level of comfort with technology. I think that's wonderful, and it adds dimension to the whole of what we have to offer. So, John, is there anything else that you want to share that I didn't ask you about, or something that you just want to say?
That's dangerous, Robin, to open it up to someone like me. But there are two things that are kind of tied together that do come to mind in answer to this, and they're not necessarily specifically related to virtual ministries. But since you opened the door, I'm going to walk through.
Indeed.
The first thing, again, goes back to Paul's comment about being all things to all people and by all means, etc. I think it's really important for anyone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ to be mindful of the opportunities to reach out to and invite all people to Jesus Christ. In fact, section 165 of the Doctrine and Covenants puts it this way, quote, "Lovingly invite others to experience the good news of new life in community with Christ. Opportunities abound in your daily lives if you choose to see them," end quote. And so I think disciples must be intentional about this, using whatever means we can tap into or whatever means we can dream up new. You know, that's the beauty of it. We can dream, and so hopefully we are intentional about dreaming up, whether it's virtual or real, you know, that we are intentional about doing that. The second one, which I said is kind of connected, is that disciples, I think, need to be intentional about using words, not just actions. Henry Nouwen, whose name many people would recognize, put it this way, "The word must become flesh, but the flesh also must become word. It is not enough for us as human beings just to live. We also must give words to what we are living. If we do not speak what we are living, our lives lose their vitality and creativity. When we see a beautiful view, we search for words to express what we are seeing. When we meet a caring person, we want to speak about that meeting. When we are sorrowful or in great pain, we need to talk about it. When we are surprised by joy, we want to announce it. Through the word, we appropriate and internalize what we are living. The word makes our experience truly human." And so virtual ministries give us new ways to do just that, to share words that express the joy, hope, love, and peace of Jesus Christ. And so my prayer is that God will bless all of Christ's disciples, whether through virtual ministries or other means, with the intentional spirit of invitation, witness, and hospitality, so that by all means, we might invite people to Christ.
Thank you, John. That is wonderful. And I love the way you provided us with a sense of pastoral benediction and sending forth in words, indeed words that were prayerful through your hopes and prayers for us. I want to thank you, John, for being with us today as we explore virtual ministry. It's been a joy to be with you and to hear more about your story and the SAGE principles and advice and story of ministry that you have shared with our listeners today. Listeners, we're glad you joined us. And if you are interested in virtual ministry, we have several podcasts on this topic that are posted now and more to come. So check that out. You are listening to Project Zion Podcast, and this is Robin Linkhart saying goodbye and inviting you to go out and make the world a better place. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.